So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That's being created. Yeah, do I? Obviously, people can gather and protest. Mm-hmm. This is America. First Amendment guarantees it. You're not allowed to protest in a violent way, but you're allowed to protest. You're allowed to assemble. You're allowed to bring grievances in front of your government. But people need to be peaceful as they're doing it. But it's just, you need to step back, in my view, and say, what are we doing here? The environment that we've created is just asking for trouble. And
wow, that is Congressman Joe Morrell this morning on CNN putting the blame back on ICE instead of the agitators that are driving around and trying to prevent our law enforcement officers from doing their jobs. Welcome back into the show. I had to play that sound when I heard it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. The officers are the ones to blame, even though we know this was a planned protest following and harassing these ICE officers as they do their jobs up in Minnesota, where that tragic shooting, of course, occurred yesterday. All right, right now, happy to have Illinois Congressman Mike Bost on with us this morning. Congressman, how are you, sir? Great to have you back.
I'm good. Thanks. I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
So what's your response when you hear your fellow Congressman Joe Morrell, a Democrat, kind of trying to, again, like many of these left-wing leaders, put the blame for this incident on law enforcement?
Well, let me be very, very clear here, whether it is him or whether it is the mayor of that particular town or the governor of that state, the governor who I know well. Look, trying to stand against law enforcement instead of saying, first off, let's get the investigation. I think that what will end up happening is that that officer did exactly what the officers are trained to do. Remember, a vehicle is a lethal weapon. And if you look at the second camera shot that they have, he was definitely in front of the vehicle. He had to try to protect himself. He had already been drugged, by the way, in a similar incident. But once you have someone come in and look, it is well within their right to protest. But first off, it's not well within their right to interfere with law enforcement. And that is the problem. They're taking these apps. They're taking these groups from around. I mean, this gal was apparently from Missouri, and now she went out there specifically to cause trouble with ICE, from what we're hearing. It's well within your right to protest. Carry
yes.
a sign. Stand on the sidewalk. Whatever. Don't get a vehicle involved. Don't aggressively come after police. And not only that, if a police officer tells you stop and get out of the vehicle, stop and get out of the vehicle. I mean, this is a case where, you know, this is exactly what happened when the riots happened there before. It is a case where they instantly make a judgment call on the police officers doing their job. And you know what? This is going to sound really crazy, I guess, to your listeners. But, you know, my father told me years ago, why in the world would you be there in the first place? Why don't you deal with your own business and stay out of theirs? So, you know, that's...
Well, like you said, Congressman, they're being goaded. They're being... I don't like the term gaslighting, but their politicians are gaslighting them into believing there's something going on that's not going on. And that's basically encouraging activities like this, which cross the line. I was watching some video. I'd love to play the audio from it, from Minneapolis last night, with what appeared to be several hundred people marching through the streets, screaming F-bombs about ICE and waving Palestinian flags and foreign flags as they're marching through Minneapolis. I'm not sure what's in the water up there, but I'm a little worried about these folks.
Well, it is a their communities. If you look at their communities have been taken over by some pretty radicals, similar to what used to be in what is in Seattle, Washington.
Yes.
And As you watch this continue to go on, these communities, which used to be wonderful communities where, you know, were just people that made a living, lived the American dream, their neighborhoods are being taken over by radicals that are just out of control. And this is the problem that, you know, the reason why the election went the way it did the last time is you remember when Democrats and Republicans argued over labor issues?
Yes.
And that was it, right? Now, everything from, we want illegals to come into our country. We want to protect criminals. We want to, what? I have a lot of good friends that were former Dixiecrats, you know, Democrats that were pro-union, but really just good people that now don't even know where their party's gone.
Congressman, all eyes are on Minnesota, not only because of what just happened with this shooting yesterday, but also because of that crazy fraud scandal, right, with a lot of these Somali-run child care centers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, the Trump administration said, look, we're not liking how things are being handled in several other states, including Illinois. And so they've frozen what I think your state had. What was it, $1 billion in social services funding that was withheld?
Yes.
What's your reaction to that?
Here's the thing. The way it's reported, you need to know the entire situation. If you have a legitimate daycare center, you know what? You got to check the boxes. You got to show what your children that you have there. There's records you keep. You're legitimate. You know what? They're not defunding them. If you're reporting, but they are then going in and saying no, and then it's wild because this is the way Illinois. If all of a sudden we put controls on money. On your tax dollars, where we have oversight, oh my gosh, you're cutting. No, you're only cutting from those that don't do the proper paperwork, because obviously there's a problem. Obviously there's a problem. And if that's the case, if you don't want to stop waste, fraud, and abuse and protect your tax dollars, I'm sorry, but that's kind of our job. And so that whether it's Illinois, it's California, you can name the states. You always can. But let me tell you that the money that poured out after COVID, and I'll give you an example of this. I had to report because there was a residence that I had that I moved out of in 2010, but we still had a business there. My wife and I, we owned a beauty salon, and the business was there. So I still got mail there. Well, when COVID broke out, I got a letter from California that had a credit card in it that had $7,000 on the credit card. After that, I got a credit card that had money on it from Illinois. So I called the Illinois disbursement area and said, what is this? And they go, well, somebody applied for it. Well, somebody applied for it fraudulently and put my name so it would come to my house, not knowing that I still took mail at that address. So they would have watched that. And this is the type of fraud. And then I asked the people from Illinois that were handling this, I said, how are you going to make sure that fraud doesn't occur? They go, well, I don't know. There's no way we can do that. See, this is a problem when you start dealing out money and you don't have oversight on what's going on. We were ripped off tremendously during COVID because of programs that were put in place and not given oversight. This is just proof of what's going on. And for the taxpayers' sake, you better hope that this administration and this Congress does its due diligence and make sure we go back and claw back that money and or prosecute those people who have committed this fraud.
Yeah, it's a great point. I have to ask you, Congressman, on the issue of Venezuela, of course, the same people that seem to hate Maduro also hate Trump, and they don't want to give him any credit for what's happened down there. But as I pointed out, Venezuelans are better off today than they were a week ago.
Venezuelans that truly are concerned about their country are all happy about what took place. Now, we have to be very, very careful about what fills the vacuum from whenever Maduro was gone now. But I think it's funny with our colleagues on the other side of the aisle. It was less than 60 days from no kings to put the dictator back.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the truth. They all seem to suddenly be worried about the health and well-being of said dictator. That's for sure.
And let me say this. So we had our briefing yesterday. It was classified, so I'm not going to give you a bunch of information. But let me tell you this. That operation was one of the best operations that have ever been handled in the world ever. Maybe the best ever. And it was a case where our military and our CIA and our intelligence agencies handled everything to the letter. No one but this United States military and these agencies could do that like they did. And we should be very, very proud, because you do know that the head of the CIA, John Ratcliffe, is from Carbondale, Illinois. And you should also know that for a long period of time, his sister was head of not the chamber, but one of the business organizations right there in St. Louis.
Wow, I didn't know that either. How about that? I learned a little bit more about John Ratcliffe.
John and I came into Congress together.
Okay.
And I did not know him, which is really wild. I didn't know him because my wife and I were, and understand Carbondale's are my high school rivals, right?
Right.
And so I am standing in a line, our second day of orientation with my wife, and this guy from behind me says, "So what's up, River Rat?" And I said, "What year did you graduate Carbondale High School?" He said, 1983. Well, I graduated Murfreesboro in 1979. So we had a whole lot of mutual friends, but he and I didn't run around together. He was from the most conservative district in Texas was when he was elected.
Small world, for sure. Well, Congressman Voss, we always appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on.
You bet. We'll talk again soon. Illinois Congressman Mike Bost. I had no idea Ratcliffe's family was from around here. There you go. All right, quick break here. We do have Jim Talent coming up, former Senator Jim Talent. And next hour, our Secretary of State, Denny Hoskins, will be on the phone with us talking about the petition controversy that's swirling down in Jeff City.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We're going to get that crude moving again and sell it, just like we did in our businesses. We're going to market the crude coming out of Venezuela first, this backed up stored oil, and then indefinitely going forward, we will sell the production that comes out of Venezuela into the marketplace. We will have U.S. as the supplier of diluent that's got to get down there to enable that production. We're going to have that flowing again. And as we make progress with the government, you know, we'll enable the importing of parts and equipment and services to kind of prevent the industry from collapsing, stabilize the production, and then as quickly as possible start to see it growing again.
Yeah, how about that? That's the Energy Secretary, Chris Wright, there talking about this crude oil that was announced, I think, yesterday. Caroline Leavitt talked about it. It's going to be delivered to the U.S., and then we can process it and sell it and take the money. And maybe we use it to cover the expenses of the operation to remove Maduro, or we use it to reinvest to get some of their wells and machinery working again that have fallen dormant down there. I mean, it's really a rat's nest of corruption in Venezuela. That continues because some of the Maduro's people are still in power. So I don't know. We'll find out if any of that changes anytime soon. I'm sure there's pressure on it. There's no way they're not keeping a good eye on that. Leavitt was one of the ones who was speaking out about this yesterday because she knows that it's got to be spent, however the money's spent, in the best interests of the United States.
That was basically just sitting in barrels, sitting on ships because of the effective quarantine of the United States of America. And the interim authorities have agreed to release that oil to the United States, so it will be arriving here at home very soon. The United States government has already begun marketing Venezuelan crude oil in the global marketplace for the benefit of the United States, engage the world's leading commodity marketers, key banks to execute and provide financial support for these crude oil and crude product sales. All proceeds from the sale of Venezuelan crude oil and products will first settle in U.S.-controlled accounts at globally recognized banks to guarantee the legitimacy and integrity of the ultimate distribution of proceeds, and those funds will be dispersed for the benefit of the American people and the Venezuelan people at the discretion of the United States government.
Absolutely. Great news.
Caroline Leavitt, I'm just really impressed with the way that she handles a lot of these things, because no doubt she has really been put through the amount of questions that she's getting on a lot of these huge issues. Now she's obviously going to be fielding questions on this Minnesota shooting, but then obviously Venezuela. I mean, some of the things that are happening are unprecedented or haven't happened in decades.
And she's about to have another baby.
That's true.
Did
that's right.
That's
she's pregnant
to catch
with
up
a,
with
a
you.
Little. I know, pregnant with a little girl.
She is.
Guess I better have a third, huh?
Yeah, she's trying to catch up. There was a debate the other day on who's going to fill in while she's out. They're already talking about that.
So probably someone under her, right? One of her staffers?
I would guess. I don't know if they got somebody else in mind or not.
Sure.
That they might bring in.
Sure, she's already training someone.
really
fast. Didn't she only take off, though, like 2 days with her
I
son?
I can't imagine.
No, I'm pretty sure she
really?
Took off. I'm not kidding, because people were celebrating it, saying like, oh, this is so amazing. Wow, what a strong woman that she went back after 2 days. And I thought,
well, you do have to kind of admire that, don't
no,
you?
No, no, no. That should not be admired. That's ridiculous. I'm not on board. I'm not on board with forcing employers that they should have to pay all, like everyone wants. Oh, 6 months of paid maternity leave. Well, yeah, that would be amazing. Like Europe does it. But guess what? Your taxes go up to pay for that. So I don't support that. But to celebrate a woman going back to work after 2 days, that is not good for her or the baby. I will get off my soapbox.
World,
I had to say that.
The world has changed so much.
The husband never had paternity leave. Every time I tell someone
we
who's maybe older than
leave.
45 or 50, they fall. I never had paternity leave when I tell them my husband had time off.
Here's the thing about it. And this is where I've always come down on this. No, they didn't offer it when we had our kids. But I've always been opposed to it being forced by the government. Because what the left in this country wants to do is force them to give people leave with the birth of a child. The government has no business doing that. But if private business wants to do it, like we have friends whose son works for Anheuser-Busch or InBev or whatever you want to call
leave.
It, and he got, I don't know how many
it's
months 16, off.
16 weeks.
In a row. He got a bunch of time off, like just half a year or something, to stay home with the wife and the kid during that period of time. It's crazy.
Yeah, I agree, because you know what? The people who are wanting to grow their families, they'll flock to those businesses. So that's
right.
A way to incentivize
I
people
guess.
As a business owner to want to go. I mean, you offer better benefits, other things that are just going to make people want to work for you.
And if that's what you want to do as a business, good for you. The government should never be the one pushing that agenda, in my opinion. All right. We failed in our attempt to get a hold of Jim Talent. I don't know if he's sleeping in this morning or what's going on, but we'll get him next week for sure. We still got Kim on a whim coming up. What are we talking about, Kim?
Well, did you see the overhaul with the food pyramid?
I heard about it, and a lot of people are angered.
Put down your low-fat yogurt. You shouldn't be eating that. I'll tell you what you should be eating instead.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Have been training to try and avoid putting officers in situations where deadly force may be necessary, particularly when there is no underlying serious criminal threat. In this case, it appears That this woman was not the target of any pre-planned law enforcement investigation, and that the initial reason for approaching the vehicle was because she was blocking the street. So that being in mind, certainly everything that we do in law enforcement, we are trying to be proportionate and reasonable, and ensuring that our officers are having the values that we want them to perform in the street, and using the law, their policy, and training whenever possible.
That is the police chief up in Minneapolis, Chief Brian O'Hara. I think treading pretty carefully there. He's not, if you'll notice, he's not going where this Mayor Fry went, where he's, you know, he's where he's cussing at ICE. He is suggesting that his officers are trained differently and, you know, to react more compassionately or something in a case like that. But he's not claiming wrongdoing on the part of ICE just yet. He does think the shooting was entirely predictable. Well, really, Chief? I mean, predictable because groups of people through apps are being encouraged to take to the streets and interfere with federal legitimate law enforcement activities. This is the problem here. Now, the chief is elected or appointed, I would imagine, up there, just like in the city of St. Louis. So he works at the pleasure of the politicians in Minneapolis. So I'm not expecting any real strong statements out of the police chief in Minneapolis. However, I will point this out to you, and I think, Kim, that it's worth reading out loud. The statement by the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association related to the ICE activity in Minneapolis. The association's interim executive director, Dave Titus, said this: "The Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association stands firmly behind law enforcement officers' accountability under the law and the safety of every Minnesota community. Irresponsible, reckless rhetoric from political leaders attacking law enforcement has real dangerous consequences for officers on the street. When officers are vilified, demonized, or used as political props, it fuels hostility, emboldens bad actors, and puts lives directly at risk. MPPOA calls on leaders to stop the inflammatory language and respect the legal and investigative process." Amen. My guess is that is reflective of most of the police officers in this country.
When it completely contradicts what you've been hearing from people like Tim Walz or that Fry guy, the Minneapolis mayor, who told ICE to get the F out of there. That was, I mean, I'm quoting directly from him yesterday. And they've more or less, you could argue, incited violence. They've said, hey, you should be angry. You can be angry. And everyone has a right to protest, but protest peacefully. As soon as you start doing something that's dangerous, that's when it's no longer okay. I think the key here with this investigation, because this is a story that's going to have, you know, a lot of people talking, what just happened with this ICE shooting, is, okay, are they going to argue, was she trying to drive away, or was she trying to intentionally ram her Honda Pilot into that ICE agent? That's what I think is going to be the key point that people are going to be debating here.
Maybe. Or, and this will be controversial, the fact that she had no business being there in the first place. She put herself in that situation. Period. Her, as somebody on Facebook pointed out, and I'm going to correct him on this, it was her wife, who was outside of the vehicle recording this on her iPhone when it happened. It was intentional. That's what you need to understand about all of this. When you're at the water cooler today and your friendly workplace liberal is complaining about this, point that out. She didn't need to be there. She could have, they, I didn't know what pronouns they use. I'm saying they as a couple, could have dropped their kid off at a Somali daycare center somewhere and gone shopping. But they didn't do that. They chose to go out and actively chase down ICE agents. And you'll say to me, well, Mark, how do you know they were intentionally doing this? I don't know. Here's one of the witnesses that CNN tried to play this earlier and use the argument that ICE was in the wrong. But the woman admitted in a previous interview that what this lady was doing was intentional.
They clearly wanted her out of there because she was the main car leading the protest, is my understanding. I talked to another guy who was driving behind her, but she was very successful in blocking traffic. She was doing what she was set out to do, and so they wanted to get her the hell out of there. Yeah.
So it looked like she was impeding ICE vehicles.
Definitely. Yeah. That was her goal.
Yeah. So now a little later, she went on CNN, and we've got that one too. What's her last name? Heller? Is that it?
Go to
cut number. Yeah. Emily Heller is her name. On CNN, she made comments that seemed to suggest that what the cops did was not self-defense. Listen to cut three, please.
I mean, that's the only reason why I'm here. I don't think I'm the most articulate person. I don't think that I don't want to be here, but I knew that this would be twisted and it would be self-defense. And that's.
Yeah, she didn't believe that it was self-defense, but she did know that the woman was put herself in that situation intentionally. It's like playing, you know, Russian roulette by running through across Market Street down here where people fly at high speeds. If you do that, you are assuming the risk that's involved with it. And when you play dangerous games, you win dangerous prizes. In this particular case, she got shot. I'm fed up with the whole thing. I thought that Scott Jennings has probably responded to this better than anyone so far. Listen to what he was schooling the liberals on CNN last night.
Understand they don't like the fact that these agents are enforcing existing immigration law. But that's not how we change laws in this country. If you don't like a law, you talk to the politicians. You don't drive your car into the middle of a building or a law enforcement situation that's being occupied by the people who are simply there to enforce the law. If I don't like how much the IRS is charging me in taxes, I don't drive my car into the Treasury Department and try to run somebody over. I call my congressman.
And that's just it. We can't, even though people are mad at ICE, you can't demonize them. They're doing their job. And she had every right to be there to protest, not to be in that area, and not to ram her vehicle into them. And that's what, again, that's what's going to be up for debate, I think.
Let's be honest. What they're mad at is Donald Trump. And they can't get to Donald Trump, so the closest access they have to him is an agency following his orders, so they've now targeted those guys.
Well, right.
And I listened to a Senate candidate from Maine this morning who said, once again, remember AOC? Disbanding ICE is now the moderate position. He's running for Senate in the state of Maine. I guess I don't know if Angus King is not running again. They must have a Senate seat coming open up there. This left-wing progressive is running for the Senate. And his argument is the moderate position now, the only position left, is to completely eliminate Immigrations and Customs Enforcement. Think about that. Throw out the acronym for a minute. It's Immigrations and Customs Enforcement. They're not a run-of-the-mill police investigative agency. What they are is an agency that acts once a warrant has been served and determined that somebody gets thrown out of the country. Remember, Barack Hussein Obama kicked a hell of a lot more people out of the country than Donald Trump has. He's still the record holder for people deported under a president. Barack Obama still holds the record.
Well, that narrative won't be shared.
None of these protests were happening during the Obama administration. They're going out and serving warrants where they know people are who have a criminal record of some sort. It doesn't matter to these liberals. They want to claim, oh, they're just randomly picking people up on the street. No, they're not. And if they do accidentally arrest you because you're an idiot and you jumped out in front of them or you threw a snowball at them, you'll eventually be released. Hopefully you'll be charged with assault on a federal agent and spend some time in the Hoosegow if you're that stupid. But there's no evidence that that's what they're doing, that they're just rounding, just randomly rounding people up.
Right.
I'll say this before we go to the break. Tony DeCoppel, the new anchor of CBS. People at CBS hate him already. I saw a story yesterday where the long knives are already out for this guy. They think that his first 2 days on the air this week were a complete disaster, and they're embarrassed by him. So what does Tony do? He goes the exact opposite way, gets Tom Homan on yesterday, and starts claiming that what Homan is saying to him is not believable. Go to cut 15, please.
You're telling me you've never seen in your tenure any example of excessive force? You're telling me you've not heard any comment from any member of this administration that is inflammatory or racist or in any way demeaning toward the immigrant community? That's what you're telling me. I know, because I've talked to people out there all over the country, a lot of Americans are going to hear that, and they're going to be yelling at their television. They're going to be saying that the idea that it's zero, there's nothing there, you're calling them crazy.
I'm not calling anybody crazy. I'm telling you what I know, what I've seen. And I told you, there are over 2,000 arrests a day. I can't see every arrest.
But it just comes down to zero issues, zero problems, zero comments. It's just not believable to a lot of people, including myself. There's nothing that you would have ICE do differently. In any of these cases, we've seen all of these videos. Nothing.
I have not seen ICE act outside of policy. And if there are acting outside of policy, I'm not aware of it, there will be an investigation that will be held.
Yeah, thank you. So DeCoppel felt like he had to state the liberal position there and say, I don't believe you. I think you have to have proof that something's been done wrong somewhere at some time, right? I mean, that's the prevailing argument of the left these days, just like it used to be against Donald Trump. Remember that when my friend Keith Antone used to come on here and argue that before Trump got elected?
No, I don't have a problem because I think there's somewhere, somehow, he's done something wrong.
They don't care what it is or when it was. They just believe that ICE is in the wrong, but they have no evidence of it. And this shooting in Minneapolis is certainly not evidence of it because we have the video from two different angles. And it's very clear what happened here. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Kim on a Whim right after this.
Kim on a Whim.
Today, in accordance with President Trump's directive, Rook and I will release the dietary guidelines for Americans 2025 to 2030. The most significant reset of federal nutrition policy in history. These guidelines replace corporate-driven assumptions with common sense goals and gold standard scientific integrity. These new guidelines will revolutionize our nation's food culture and make America healthy again.
Yeah, forget just about everything you've been told growing up by the dietitians. Eat low-fat this, diet that. What RFK Jr. has done is he's essentially flipped the food pyramid on its head, and I cannot tell you how thrilled I am. I have to give credit publicly for my parents because I'll tell you what, we grew up with a more holistic approach, and they were right. This is the food pyramid that we see right now that they just released yesterday.
Right.
That is what I grew up on. It wasn't, again, the low-fat stuff. We were never really, they told us do not have diet soda. We never really had soda in general, but diet soda, there's a lot of aspartame and other things in it, harmful things that people are eating. And a lot of these foods that for so long people said, well, those are healthy, right? These new dietary guidelines really put a strong emphasis on increasing your protein. The Trump administration, RFK Jr., says that you should be having protein at every single meal. He says full-fat dairy is in. Toss out the low-fat junk that you probably have in your fridge right now. Maybe you had some low-fat yogurt this morning for breakfast. They're saying drink less alcohol, but they're not setting a limit. The previous recommendation said one drink per day for women, two for men. They're just saying, you know, avoid drinking a lot.
I heard Oz say that. We'd prefer you. I'm not encouraging people to drink, but when you drink, you're generally more social, and people need to get out and be more social. It's healthy for them.
In moderation.
In moderation.
Avoid highly processed foods. By now, we should all know that the highly processed foods are not good for us. This one is really good. No added sugar for kids and a strict limit for adults. man, added sugar creeps into almost everything. Well, you have your healthy salad, right? You feel really good about it. You're getting your greens in, your veggies in. But then you pour that salad dressing on it, and it's just riddled with junk in it and so much added sugar. Go look at the salad dressings in your refrigerator right now.
Well, what are you
and
supposed
you'll be
to
dumbfounded.
Put on it?
Well, you can. I'm not saying I do this, but I actually want to. I have done it before. You can make your own. Like, even olive oil with a few different seasonings in it can be good. You can do lemon juice, squeeze some of that in with a little bit of olive oil, some pepper. There's really good balsamic vinegar is another alternative. But there are also salad dressings you can, I'm not suggesting you have to make your own every time, but there are better salad dressings for you at the grocery store that you can buy.
I mean, I can't just dump out the blue cheese on top of it?
Go look at what's in your blue cheese when you get home from work this morning. Beef tallow, obviously a good option. I think the biggest thing they say is just, you know, the pasta, the breads, all the things, the whole grains that we were told to really eat the most of. 6 to 11 servings was the old food pyramid guidelines. No. You need to be eating things like steak and chicken. And I know some of you are probably vegetarian, but...
Well, vegetables are at the top.
High protein, yes, vegetables.
Broccoli, and carrots.
You need to eat more vegetables than fruit. Fruit obviously is good, but people would sit there and say, oh, if you eat eggs, your cholesterol is going to skyrocket. And that was something that my parents said growing up was bogus. In fact, maybe I've told you this. There's a picture of me in my high school yearbook for Parkway West holding a frying pan because people knew I ate a lot of eggs. Like, it just was like a thing. I love eggs. I went home yesterday because I'm dairy-free right now. I can't eat a ton. I had like 4 or 5 eggs for breakfast yesterday.
Like without the yolks?
No, yeah. We know that you can't pronounce yolk correctly, Mark.
I did pronounce yolk.
Uh-huh.
It's Y-O-L-K. Can you still have the yolks or not?
No, you can. That's also a lie.
Oh,
people want to sit there and say you need to
the
have
egg whites?
The egg whites or so.
Oh,
no,
okay.
The protein, a lot of it's in the yolk.
Oh, okay.
Mark, and
the yolk.
So eat the
you
avocado.
Right.
Don't think you're going to get fat just because you're eating avocado and other things. It's just, I cannot tell you how thrilled I am with some of the changes that this administration has made. This is huge. Now, will people abide by this? I don't know. I mean, certainly the companies that are marketing these products, particularly to kids, they don't
care.
Get
away from the processed foods where you don't have any control at the end of the process what they put into it, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's what they want you to do.
Go read the ingredients on some of your favorite foods. You'll be dumbfounded. Bindi's saying on Facebook it's very hard to avoid sugar. It really is. I've done no added sugar, and
yeah.
It's tough. It can be done.
Know.
Sue does it, but it's hard.
It is definitely a challenge. Yeah, I'm with you on that. That fits my diet perfectly. That's great. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Secretary of State Denny Hoskins. There's a group of people trying to take the redistricting issue that passed and put it on the ballot. Will they succeed? We'll talk to the Secretary of State coming back.
Get more at 971talk.com.